across Northeast Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM.
But everything that's happening, the situation inside Ukraine is spiralling. And there's a number of children fleeing their homes. It just continues to climb. There's 2 million children have now been forced to flee Ukraine as the war rages on. It's just horrendous. And here to speak to me about that and what we may be able to do to help UNICEF. This is UNICEF Communications and Media Manager Danny Smith. Hi, how are you, Danny?
Hi, good morning. Thanks very much for having us on.
Not at all. It's a terrible situation with what's happening. And I've currently been doing just a temporary little thing with bringing the census forms around the homes. And there's quite a number of homes have taken in children from Ukraine. But there's also Ukrainian families here who have tried to bring some of their own family home. And it was very sad to, I was talking to one family and she couldn't get her mother out and couldn't get younger siblings, you know, nieces, nephews. So what is it that you're doing and what is it that you want us to try to help you with?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think you spoke well to the kind of the tragic circumstance that a lot of children and families in Ukraine are experiencing right now. The war is, you know, 4 to 5 weeks old and it's just been an absolutely grim period for all children there. So I think last week, ourselves at UNICEF, we released the latest number of children who've been displaced from their homes. So there's 7.5 million children in Ukraine. And of that total, 4.3 million children, which is one in two, more than one in two children, have been forced to flee their homes with their families. 2.5 million of them are displaced within Ukraine, so they've been forced to move to other areas. We've all seen the kind of harrowing pictures of the bombardments on cities and urban areas. Many children have been forced to flee there. Yeah. And nearly 2 million children have been forced to flee and become refugees into neighbouring countries. So it's an absolutely horrific situation.
It is indeed. And, you know, children, they shouldn't have to see war. They shouldn't have to be displaced and taken out of their homes and schools and away from, you know, friends and family. And a lot of them you see coming across the border, as you say, to Poland and other countries. The men have been left behind to fight. The older people, some of them don't want to move. So they're just kind of small little parts of families. They're all being displaced and it's just horrendous to see. It's really, really sad. But also you're trying to get other countries as well involved in taking them over, and especially here in Ireland as well.
Yeah, so I think it's been really positive to see, like, one of the few positives of this has been how everyone has responded. You know, both here in Ireland, the public response that we've seen for UNICEF's campaign, but also for other campaigns for agencies that are working there in Ukraine. And then we've also seen people in Ireland come together and offer their homes, offer places to stay, offer food and different supplies for, you know, for Ukrainians who've been forced to come to Ireland. And that just shows the solidarity of people here in Ireland and I think everyone's understanding of the situation and how difficult it is for everyone. You know, from the UNICEF side, we're working there in the Ukraine in a number of different ways, delivering critical supplies, working in terms of child protection, trying to protect children who might be at risk, also working very much so in terms of the health area, delivering medical supplies and that kind of thing. And then also in the neighbouring countries. And as you said, it's really important that both the neighbouring countries, but also countries like Ireland and different countries across the world, do what we can to support refugees who now, you know, they need a place to stay, they need a place to shelter, and whatever we can do, you know, is absolutely the right thing there.
And also, they need, as you say, a place to shelter, but they need to try to keep, you know, their education and a little bit of normality going. So, you know, like some schools, I believe, have ways of that they're doing it online, as we have done through COVID and that. But there's the opportunity to try to keep them learning and the access to education, so to give them some stability, even if they are having to move, you know, from their homes. Now, as you
just on that, in Ukraine, all of the education has the schools have closed. But what UNICEF is doing, we'd be working with the local authorities, moving as many children as we can into a digital learning, or setting up learning hubs in, you know, some of the underground subway stations or places, bunkers that the children are forced to flee to. And then exactly to your point of trying to find normality for children. So one of the programs we have in the neighboring countries are called Blue Dots. And essentially these are safe spaces where children can come with their families. Their parents might be able to access important information or access local services, but at the same time children are given places where they can play, where they can, you know, get educational materials, and they can have that real sense of normality, and it may be the first opportunity they've had to play and kind of relax. And we've seen the same thing here with the airport and the different services that organisations all over Ireland are putting up for Ukrainian refugees. So it's really, really welcome.
Yes, and now this week, was it this week? I'll just have to look at the date of this. Well, it was actually a week or two ago. The date on it was the 30th of March. So as of the 28th of March, you had dispatched 114 trucks carrying about 1,275, it says, it's very precise, metric tons of emergency supplies to support the children and families. Now, you began a humanitarian cash transfer programme to support 52,000 of the most vulnerable families in the Ukraine. So tell us about that and how that works and how people can get involved.
Yeah, so the cash transfer programme, this is a programme that UNICEF and other organisations would deliver in emergency contexts, and they work really, really well. Essentially, it allows people to get cash very fast, and then it allows them to buy the goods that they need and that their family need locally on the ground, and so they can get access to it very, very fast. And in many cases, you know, it's absolutely vital for them to put food on the table, to buy clothing, to buy all the basics. So that would be the cash transfer system. And UNICEF is about to roll out one of them in the Ukraine, looking to reach over 265,000 households. So really is a very sizable activity that we're looking to roll out. And then, as you mentioned, the critical supplies. So UNICEF would have different logistics hubs around the world, and one of the biggest ones of those is in Denmark. So thankfully, not too far away, and that has allowed us to send over 1,000 tons already to the Ukraine. And yeah, the different goods would be kind of across the full spectrum of needs. So they, as I mentioned, they'd be for medical supplies. Like, we know one of the kind of figures that has sort of stuck with me from the crisis so far has been that during the war, there's been over 4,000 babies born into the war. And obviously, all of those, all the babies and the mothers would need medical supplies, different kind of items. And so UNICEF would prioritize supporting those kind of hospitals to ensure that children get the best chance early in life. Because it is obviously it's a very, very risky and dangerous situation to be born into.
Oh, it is indeed. My goodness, terrible for those mothers, you know, and babies. But now, here we have seen people come together and, you know, you see them gathering in supplies themselves, getting Pampers, getting all sorts of things and supplies. Would you rather they send the money to you and you know exactly what's needed?
Exactly. So UNICEF will work prioritizing, and we have specialists who are designing the programs that we have, and they would be looking at exactly what kind of items children and families would need in the different contexts. And then they would be thinking about, okay, what, how do we get them to children and families as fast as possible, in the most efficient way possible, and in the cheapest way possible, so that if someone gives a donation to UNICEF, the donation goes as far as possible. And really, when in terms of the logistics of moving items from Ireland to Ukraine, that can be very challenging. And so what UNICEF would do is it would work with either global suppliers or, in many cases, very local or regional suppliers in and around an emergency. So in this case, the in and around Ukraine and neighbouring countries, and bring the absolutely critical supplies. Some of them can be very technical items, like, you know, medical supplies and those kind of things. So yeah, we absolutely encourage. There's obviously different organisations who welcome goods and that kind of thing. For UNICEF, because we're very much focused on bringing maybe medical supplies or nutritional supplies and very, very focused supplies and goods, yeah, we'd welcome donations. And we've been absolutely blown away by the response of everyone so far to our campaign to support children in the Ukraine.
Yes, I mean, it is. It's fantastic the way people rally around and the support that they give, even though, I mean, everybody has been crying here going, oh my God, the electricity is going up, the gas is going up, everything seems to be going up, petrol, and still people find it somewhere. And that's it. I mean, it doesn't have to be a large amount. This, you know, a lot of small amounts makes up a big amount, and it will help you with your work, you know. So where can they get on board? How do they send anything, that if they want to get on board, how do they do it?
Brilliant. No, as you say, like we always say, every euro counts. You know, we'd really, really welcome any support that people can offer. As I said, so far, just in a number of weeks, we've had an incredible response. It's been our biggest campaign ever, and I know that's the same for other organisations as well. And it is just inspiring to see that people getting behind it. And I think people know that this is a huge moment, both for the people of the Ukraine, but also historically. And you know, whatever we can all do is hugely valuable. So, yeah, we just ask anyone who can support UNICEF's work with children, they can go to unicef.ie, the website, and all the information is there, and you can see all the different ways that we're working in the Ukraine.
That's brilliant. Have you been out yourself? Have you gone?
I haven't personally. No, I haven't. No, we have teams. We have teams obviously in the Ukraine, and then teams in the neighbouring countries as well. But no, I haven't personally travelled.
Right.
But I know from hearing from the teams, you know, just the situation on the ground, and how I think they all kind of report back how impacted they all are from being in Ukraine and from seeing the situation faced by children, and how, you know, every day there's a new fear, or every day there's a new trauma for children. So it really does impact our staff who are out there. And obviously we'd have security concerns as well for those that are out there. But
yes,
it really is trying to keep as many services going as we can.
Yes, definitely. I mean, we're seeing a small amount of it on the news, but we know the way, you know, propaganda and all of that, and what we're fed out through, we don't see the half of the atrocities that's taking place, and it's just harrowing. Every time I look at it, it's just so sad. It's horrendous. I never thought that we would get to this in this day and age, that we would be on the brink of war, a world war, if things don't improve. Hopefully there'll be, the peace talks will you know, will be positive, and things will happen, and this will end soon, please God. But for the moment, you need people to get onto unicef.ie, and they can donate in any way possible to help your work.
Absolutely, as I said, yeah, every support that every donation that we receive, you know, goes to support the work that we do in children or with children in Ukraine. The scale of this crisis is particularly vast, and you know, one figure that has stuck with me is one child has been displaced from their home every 55 seconds since the start of the war now. So it just kind of goes to speak to the absolute scale of it. So exactly as you said, you know, any hopefully we're all hoping this ends soon, and that the shelling and the indiscriminate bombing of urban areas stops immediately. But you know, any support for UNICEF or other organisations who are working on the ground is hugely appreciated at this time, because there's a lot of needs.
There are indeed, and you're very good with all the work that you do. Thank you so much, Danny, for joining me this morning, and best of luck with the all the work that you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Take care. Bye bye. Now, that was Danny Schmitz, the Communication and Media Manager with UNICEF. And as he said, get on to unicef.ie. There's a lot of different ways that you can send money or get involved. And they need all the help they can get.
Across North East Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near